Good morning. I'll be presenting our work on right policies for host cache flash caches. This is a joint work by Ming Zhao, Ranjura Goswami, Leonardo Marmol, and Ricardo Kohler from FIU, and Nisha Talagala and Swaminathan Sundaraman from Fusion.io. Well, typically, virtualized environments are deployed on clusters of hosts connected to centralized network storage. But recently, there has been a trend towards more degrees of consolidation. And in order to reduce the load on network storage, many cloud providers have started to consider using locally attached flash as caches. However, several researchers have recommended the use of write-through caches and not write-back caching because of the danger of using write-back in case of crashes. Before we start and to put things into context, this is the architecture that we are referring to. We have an application or an application on top of a VM using an OS or a hypervisor. This is in a single host with a locally attached flash, and all of this connected to network storage. And in this paper, we assume that LANs are not shared by more than a host, and more than a single host, and we don't assume failures at the network side, only at the network storage side. We only assume failures on the host. This is the outline of the presentation. I'll start showing some performance data that motivates the use of write-back caching, then the two proposed write-back policies that we showed in the paper, then some consistency analysis, and finally, performance evaluation, summary, and conclusions. So the advantage of caching a read is unquestionable. By caching a read, we get a better performance and no possible consistency risk. However, the situation with writes is a bit more complicated. One option for writes is to use a write-through policy where writes go synchronously to the network storage and to the flash before being notified to the application as completed. And another option is to use write-back, where writes go to the flash cache and then application is immediately notified of completion. And writes to the network storage are just delayed or possibly lost in case of a crash. So just from this figure, it's not obvious whether write-back is going to perform better. For once, we can see that write-back will have less latency for most writes. But possibly we are adding an extra read because the block might not be on DRAM anymore. And in the worst case, we might just be delaying the writes to network storage and not actually reducing them. So to see the actual benefit of using write-back, we perform a simple experiment. We used OLTP TPCC, and we ran it using a write-back and a write-through cache. We used a cache of size approximately 80% of the working set size of TPCC. And we compare response time as seen by the users of applications and throughput as well. We used a flash which is in relative 80 times faster in terms of latency of random writes than the disk. And we observed that the observed response time is 75 times faster in the case of write-back and 3 times faster in the case of throughput for write-back as well. The reason for only 3 time X is that we didn't fully stress the TPCC system. But at least from this, we think that this is there is a noticeable performance improving from using write-back, so it should be considered. We later studied these results and found that most of the performance benefits of write-back are coming from basically three characteristics. The first one is that we are lowering the latency by not having to actually reach slower network storage. The second is that we're able to coalesce writes and therefore reduce the amount of write traffic to the network storage. And the final is that by delaying evictions, we're able to batch them and send them in parallel to the network storage. And this, especially for arrays of disk, is great because we get more throughput out of it. So until now, we just compare ride-through and ride-bike in terms of performance, but there are more dimensions in where to compare them. For instance, consistency and staleness of the network storage. So in terms of staleness, if we use ride-bike and took a look, and we take a look at this, the network storage at any time, we will see that it's actually in state older than what we have if we read from the flash. That's staleness because of write-back. And in the case of consistency, let's see what happens with write-back with a simple example. Let's say we used a journal file system and we perform a file deletion operation. This will be composed of basically two operations. First, we need to delete the entry on the parent directory list. Corresponding to this file. And second, we need to mark the block used by this file as free. And finally, in the case of a journal file system, we'll have a commit that says that this transaction is actually ready and committed to disk. And again, let's say we use write-back and we crash just after the commit. And let's say we had some bad luck and this inode delete operation was out of order, was delayed, and we just got these two operations showed in the figure. This will lead to an inconsistency. This is bad. The list of files will show this file, but the list of free blocks will show the block used by the file as free. In the case of write through, we wouldn't have this problem as network storage writes are done in synchronous with writes to the flash before notifying the application. So now if we were to plot these two write-back policies in the nice 3D plot that we showed with the three dimensions, we will see that write-through fits in a completely different extreme of write-back. In one side, you have write-through, which is slow, provides consistency, and has no staleness. And on the other side, we'll have write-back, which is faster, has no consistency guarantees, and some staleness. So in these vast spectrum, we looked for some other options and we couldn't find it in terms of caching. But interestingly, we found a similar problem and solution in the field of asynchronous remote mirroring. There, writes are delaying, making better use of network bandwidth, but this is at the cost of delaying the updates. That is, at the cost of having to have RPOs, recovery objective points, higher than zero. That is, some applications have to consider staleness. But a study by Keaton showed that there are actually many applications that can tolerate staleness. For example, simple file servers or virtual desktops or social network data servers. So we follow a similar approach. We also trade off staleness for higher performance on write-back. We want to design a new write-back policy. So these are the first characteristics, the four characteristics that we want out of this new write-back policy. We first want to be able to at least provide point-in-time consistency. Second, we want to get all the performance benefit that we got from a traditional write-back, and we can do this by first being able to send the writes to the network storage in the background. Second, write coalescing, and finally, parallel evictions. So we saw in the example that the main issue with traditional write-back was that it was reordering the evictions to the network storage. And in fact, a key property that most file systems and databases need in order to provide reliability is that these writes, or the writes, are made in order. So this is the basis for the first write-back policy that we propose, which is actually store the ordering of the writes to the flash, and then evict them using the same order. We store the fact that a write is issued after another one completes. And we just store the dependency and invariant that we have to maintain on evictions. And as you can see, this is just best effort. We cannot have all the dependencies from the applications. We are not touching the applications. And we might be losing some parallelism opportunities. This figure shows some example of this completion issue invariant. For example, we can see that the issue of block 2 happens only after the completion of block 1. We maintain this information and use them on the eviction. We maintain this information using a graph. In this case, for example, we can see that the eviction of block 2 will depend on the eviction of block 1. And we can also see that there is no dependency between block 2 and block 3. That means that they can be sent in parallel. So let's see what happens for ordered write-back with an example. Let's say we're running an application. We have to evict something. And LRU tells us that the block to evict, the least important block, is, let's say, block 2. So we take a look at the graph, and we see that block 2 depends on a whole bunch of other evictions. So we perform all these evictions and finally evict block 2. And this example shows a big problem with this approach, which is that in this case, as you can see, block 2 has to be evicted twice, and even worse, it has to be stored twice. So there is no write coalescing in the case of ordered write-back. And this can be solved with a simple solution, which is to evict all of these blocks atomically using a write group interface similar to what is described in the logical disk work. And in this way, everything before the transaction is consistent, everything after the transaction is still consistent, and if we crashed in the middle of the transaction, we just discard the uncommitted transaction. We implemented this in journal write-back by using a journal on the network storage. In this case, a host will start the transaction, send a group of writes to the network storage, and finally a commit, and then the network storage in the background will checkpoint these transactions to their final position on disk. And in this case, if, for example, we just crash in the middle of a transaction, uncommitted transactions are just discarded. So until now, I've been describing failure on the host side where the SSD cannot be recovered, but what about the case where we can actually restart the host and read all the contents that we had in the flash? So what we really need is just a mapping between the network storage blocks and the blocks in the flash. But we cannot take the luxury of actually writing a mapping operation at every new write allocation. So we group writes in transactions. And at the commit, we just write the ordering with the commit block. We refer to both these two journals together as the journal write-back policy. Having these two journals gives us a nice property, which is dual staleness control. We have two types of staleness and two knobs to control them. One type of staleness is the staleness that occurs when the host crashes and the SSD is recoverable. This staleness is controlled by the frequency of commits on the host side, that is, how large are the transactions in the host side. And the second staleness occurs when the host is restarted. The host cannot be restarted, and we lose the contents of the flash. And this type of staleness is controlled by the frequency of the change points to the network storage, as you can see in the figure. So after a host crashes, both journal and ordered write-back are able to provide a consistent state of the content at some point in the past. Therefore, they provide point-in-time consistency. We see that ordered write-back and journal write-back can provide point-in-time consistency. And write-through, on the other hand, provides transactional consistency. That it is at the block layer. And a third type of consistency, which is actually stronger, is applications consistency. And this is a type of consistency this really being able to provide after a crash a state consistent, semantically consistent with application. And application consistency can be easily provided by modifying the journal writeback by providing the applications with an API to synchronously commit unfinished transactions to the host side journal and the storage side journal. So some evaluation. We implemented this cache on Linux as a Linux kernel module, the block layer. We intercept every I/O. And we used 4K pages block sizes and used ARC as the replacement algorithm. And we used local SSD and enterprise class SSD. In this case, we used OCZ, PCI Express. And we used iSCSI. We modified the enterprise iSCSI target implementation to have journal side transactions. And we used an array of two disks at 7,000 RPMs. And finally, we used the following set of workloads for evaluation. We used Postmark, FileBench, FileServer, TPCC, an OLTP workload, and YCSB, which is a Yahoo workload generator for key value stores. And in these next figures, I'll show some performance data comparing all four writeback policies and some analysis. And finally, I'll show how we can control staleness in the journal writeback policy. The following figure shows normalized throughput, normalized to write-through throughput on the y-axis. And we show this for all four write-back policies, that is write-through, write-back, journal write-back, and ordered write-back. And we show this for all workloads and three variants of YCSB. The first interesting observation that we can make here is that, well, in all cases, write-through has the worst performance. That is expected because, as we saw before, writes have to be sent synchronously to the slower network storage. And now we will see some interesting observations one by one. The first one is this one, that was the expected behavior, where write-through performs the worst, write-back, traditional write-back performs the best, and we have order write-back and journal write-back just after it, after it in the middle. This is expected because first we don't expect journal write-back to perform better than write-back, traditional write-back, because it has some limitation on the number of dirty blocks. And also we didn't expect order write-back to perform better than journal write-back because it doesn't have write coalescing. So this is the expected result. But we actually saw some different numbers. For instance, in this case, in the case of YCSBB, we saw that journal write-back has actually better performance. And the reason for this is that in this implementation, traditional write-back doesn't have a background flusher. And journal write-back has a background process, which is committing and checkpointing writes in the background. So by doing this, journal write-back is able to batch more writes and send more in parallel to the network storage and then getting more throughput and finally better application performance. Another exception to what we expected was, in this case, YCSB F. And this is first, this is a write-intensive workload, a write-intensive variant of YCSB. And in this case, we saw that ordered write-back has the best performance, and that was unexpected. And the main reason for this, at least to be better than a traditional write-back, was that first, it was a write-intensive workload, and the writes nicely followed the order on the LRU. So. So that meant that whenever we had to evict something, most of the times the eviction didn't require to clean something before. Most rights to evict didn't have any dependency. And another interesting observation here is that order write-back performs better than journal write-back, and journal write-back actually performed worse than traditional write-back. The reason for this specific case was that in this situation, we didn't set up the journal correctly. The journal size was just too small, and therefore the application suffered because of a too limited number of dirty blocks in the cache. So now let's study the performance of a file server file bench in more detail. In this case, we have performance as operations per second as we increase the size of the cache from 0.5 gigabytes to 2.5 gigabytes. The first observation we can make is that there is a very low slope in the case of write-through. This is because this workload was mostly write-intensive. And write-through, by not caching writes, was not getting much benefit as we increase the size of the cache. Now, let's divide the observations first for the case where we have a large cache sizes. And it's important to notice here that the working size of these applications was 2.3 gigabytes. So in this case, let's see what happens when we have caches close to the working set size. This shows the expected behavior, which is write-back and journal write-back having the best performance, followed by ordered write-back and write-through. And we observed that this was inversely proportional to the number of writes to the network storage, which can be which is shown in the figure in the bottom. That's network storage writes. Now let's see what happens in the case of small caches. In the case of small caches, we can observe that write-through and journal write-back has the best performance, but traditional write-back and ordered write-back has very noticeable performance overhead. In the case of traditional write-back, the reason for this is write allocations. These are writes that need some block, that in most cases need some block to be evicted from the cache before the writes can be performed. And in the case of this write-back implementation, we didn't have any background flusher cleaning up pages. So in most of the cases, these write-backs suffer from having to perform an extra write to the network storage before being able to write to the flush. And this can be seen in the figure in the bottom, which shows the fraction of the writes that were write allocations. As you can see, from 0.5 to 5, up to 1.5 cache size, we see that there is a big amount of write allocations. And these are impacting traditional write-back. And as you see, the point after where we get better performance for it is just after we have almost zero write allocations. And now for ordered write-back, the reason for it to perform worse is that across the whole cache range, across the whole figure, because of write coalescing, ordered write back had an overhead of almost 200 operations per second. So that's why it's performing worse at this point than a write through. Then we perform a simple experiment to see how we can control performance by controlling staleness. This shows how we are able to trade off performance for some staleness. In this case, we limit the transaction size at the network storage, and we vary this from one to a large volume. In this case, 500 megabytes. And in this case, we can see that we are able to control the throughput as something similar to write-through, to something similar to write-back. In the case of write-through, it's because when the transaction is very small, let's say it was one, that means that we're really performing the way as write-through is. Finally, summary and conclusions. In summary, in this paper we saw that There are many dimensions to compare, in order to compare the write policies. We showed that write back and write through are just two extremes in the whole possible range of write policies that there can be. We proposed three new write back policies. One is ordered write back, in which we have a point in time consistency at some performance reduction. Then journal write back, where we have almost no performance reduction, but we need to modify the network storage to provide atomic group writes. And finally, we saw that application consistency can be provided by modifying journal write back to get application hints. Thank you.
Meng Guangwang from Ample. So in your ordered write back policy, you carefully maintain a dependency of writes depending on their completion time. So I wonder whether this is really necessary, because when these writes get to the hard drive, once those writes reach the track cache, they acknowledge the writes, and the hard drive is free to reorder the writes. So the writes can reach the media in any order, unless there's a flash track cache command in between. So I wonder, did you look at just using a flash track cache command as a barrier instead of maintaining a careful dependency between all the writes?
Actually, I don't quite understand the question. How can you reorder the evictions if you don't maintain this disorder in somewhere?
Because hard drive doesn't have such a strong ordering guarantee. So no matter how strong order guarantee you maintain at the write back cache, when it gets to the media, it can happen in any order.
So you're saying that this will reorder things anyway, so there is no, we shouldn't care about actually setting things in order to the disk?
Yeah, so what if you just use a flash train cache command as a barrier? Then between any two flash train cache command, you just freely reorder all the writes and coalesce them. Wouldn't that be easier?
Well, if that is the case, yeah, but that's really not the case, right? I mean, whatever you send to the disk for writing will stay in a cache, and hopefully this cache is not non-volatile, and that's really storing everything that you sent in order, right? But okay.